off for a few weeks, but the Mezuzah Shem, we should be on now for a few weeks, through Elul, mostly. And then, once we get, I think there's the week that's the Asayas Mechuba week, and then, I'm not sure if we can give a shiur then, but then there's three in a row where it's Yontif. Or it's actually Erev Yom Kippur and then two Sukkoses. So, but the next few weeks, Bli Neder and Bli Ayin Hara, we should be able to meet and hopefully get some continuity and wrap up Kerev Yerivya and then move on perhaps to the next mitzvah even before Yontif. So just to review what we ended off with last time, and really then to pick up with it, because there's a continuity with what we're up to today. And that was the discussion, the famous Chiddush, of the Minchas Chinuch, which in previous weeks we focused on those Achronim who disagreed, and implicitly some Rishonim, which we'll even see again tonight. But I don't want to revisit all the different Machloksim that we saw in previous times, but for now let's just focus on the Minchas Chinuch Shir Shishita himself, which is, as I said, very famous, and it's also very compelling. It's not Bukhruch, of course, those who disagree, but it's a sort of very compelling Shita. And that is his Chiddush about the nature of the mitzvah of Pru Revu, being a unique mitzvah to a certain extent, and certainly not one that one first imagines. And basically what the Minchas Chinuch does is he has an initial presentation of this, and then eventually he gets to two proofs, and then he gets some questions that once he becomes so convinced of Shita, he then uses it to go and probe other Rishonim and Achronim. So let's review the basic point, and then we'll get to the point that we were up to. So, using the Machon Yerushalayim version of the Minchas Chinuch, if we go back to what is in their version, Os Ches, or in the bracketed Os Ches, right in the beginning of page Amud Beis, this is the paragraph about Mitzvah Habava Avera. So let's just focus on that, just again, as part of our review. Again, it's been a few weeks since we met. And let's just review that point, and then we'll jump to his other proofs. We won't read everything straight, because we've seen a lot of this already. But let's just review the highlights, so that we can put them, boom, 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 together, all the different points that make up this famous Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. So number one, the basis of everything was the issue of Mitzvah Baba Avera. How did the Minchas Chinuch get into the question of Mitzvah Baba Avera, which itself is not his goal? That's not the end game. The end game is to use Mitzvah Baba Avera to define Pru Revu. But how did he get into that? He got into that by the discussion from the Rishonim. If you'll take a look at the beginning of that paragraph, he's mentioning, as he had mentioned in the previous paragraph, that it seems that we assume, by the Rishonim, that if someone has a child who's a mamzer, that can count towards the mitzvah. So if you had a boy and now you have a girl who's a mamzeris, or vice versa, that can count towards the mitzvah. And he points out that even though there are some unique situations in which one can produce a mamzer without committing an avera, it's possible, but it's clearly said from the Rishonim, who don't limit the discussion, that we're even talking about a case where a person had an illicit relationship. And again, to take the classic example of a mamzer, that would be somebody who has a relationship with a married woman. Whether he's married or not, for me, daraisa, not relevant, but if she's married, that becomes not only an issa daraisa, not only a chi of misa, but the product, if there would be a child, I think since we've last met, a variation of this case has been in the news, if they had a love child, that illicit relationship, what's produced, that child, would be a mamzer. And comes along the Rishonim and say, oh, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Revu through that. So on that point, said the Minchas Chinuch, the paragraph, at least in my version, begins, V'zezman kvir hikshisi. It's been so long, I'm so bothered by this, relentlessly bothered by this halacha. The lama yotzei dechova, halo have a mitzvah baba avera. That's how we reach out a mitzvah baba avera min atayana yotzei. I would just rephrase, ain mitzvah baba avera, gadol mizeh. I mean, this is not exactly like, I just took a little and I forgot to ask permission. This is serious, Avera, the Chi of Misa. And we're going to say that you can fulfill a mitzvah through that? Isn't that a violation of Mitzvah HaBav Avera? That is his question. And the answer that Minchas Chinuch gave was based on his first assumption, which is his longest in Mitzvah HaBav Avera, and then he applies it to Pru Revu. Who remembers, leave aside Pru Revu for a second, in Lomdus, in principle, just in theory, in concept, what was the Minchas Chinuch's definition of when do we say stamp mitzvah baba avera as a problem? If it's done exactly, if it's done at the same time. So take the lulav example, every time I pick up the lulav, even though that I really stole it a day ago or a week ago, but that itself is a new ma'isa avera, or at very least a bittul of the mitzvah of hashav. I'm just returning it. It's not mine. I can't use it. So the very fact that I want to fulfill the mitzvah, while I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, I'm doing an avera. That says the minchas chinuch is mitzvah baba avera. But if I'll do an avera, who knows when? And now I have an object, but it's, the avera was done already, and now I do a mitzvah. So as he puts it, to paraphrase, avera l'chud. Mitzvah l'chud. It's not a good thing. We're not complimenting you. You're not going to get Matar Yonah for it. But still, it's a. It's not going to. Well, not. We're not one of those.
It's not
Shomer. It's Baltimore. And these are one of the times I would say I'm proud that you cannot buy your way out of illicit means in our community, and you can in others, unfortunately. But anyway, we digress. So, says the Minchas Chinuch, that's my yisod. That's my definition of Mitzvah Bavera. Apply that now to Puruvu. If you have that definition, as Alan and others said, so why, how does that explain why it's not a problem of Puruvu it's not a problem of Mitzvah Bavera in Puruvu? Who remembers? Oh, so this is the Chiddush. Didi was saying it for the first time, and this was Didi's Chiddush. The Minchas Chinuch is having a chav into it. Namely, that the Chiddush is that the Maisa Bia is not the mitzvah. It's not even a Maisa mitzvah. As we'll see at different points, he doesn't always say it, but he seems to assume it, and at other times he says explicitly, the Maisa Bia is just a Hechsher mitzvah. But the mitzvah is the result of having children. Let's see that inside. If you take a look in the middle of that paragraph, Im Kain, end of the line if you have my version. Hacha nami yihacha. So too here. Nehidam mitzvah shel habanim ba'ei de'avera de'bias iser. It's true that a bias iser produced the child. V'kamakam ha-mitzvah sa'asei ha'inu habanim. The result. V'ha-be'ila, the ma'isa, is rak hechsher mitzvah. The hechsher below zeh, you know, certainly a hechsher mitzvah. You can't do it without it. Nevertheless, it's not the mitzvah itself. And therefore, he says, that avera took place not at earliest 9 months ago. And the mitzvah happens now. So let's just, since we have it anyway, let's use the benefit of our whiteboard. So the first raya, too, we'll call this Chish Shel HaMinchas Chinuch, which you now know what we're referring to, namely that it's the mitzvah of children, not the Maisa Bia. So his first raya is the sugya of mitzvah Haba Ba'avera. Right? If you don't hold it, as you sowed, you'd have a problem. How could you hold that you fulfilled the mitzvah with mamzer? You'd have a problem with mitzvah b'avera. Now, I don't want to get into it now, but we did discuss originally that there were some achron who disagreed with the Minchas Chinuch, either because they disagreed with his whole definition of mitzvah b'avera, the hell doesn't have to be, but there's a different definition, or even if they agreed with it, like Rav Tzipa Safrank, but they taka, they still disagree with his definition of the mitzvah. So that's, but it's like, we don't want to, right now we're just focusing on the Minchas Chinuch Shita himself. So the first raya for his yesod, he says, is, if you don't accept what I'm saying, it wouldn't make sense. How could you escape the taint of mitzvah habava avera? Now, he alludes to another raya in this paragraph, but since he's going to get to it again, and stuff that is more recent, and if not new to us, so let's leave that paragraph, and let's skip it again in my versions to the other column, really where we left off last time. And that was somewhere around the end of the paragraph of the column there in those osios of Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. So let's read Yud Gimel. I think we did end off with that last time, but since that's what we ended off with, I don't think we got to Yud Dalet if my memory serves me correctly. Let's begin with Yud Gimel, and we'll see something that we've already seen, and hopefully it'll come together even in a stronger structure. Says Minchas Chinuch and Os Yud Gimel, Im Haya Goy, Haya Lo Banim Big Yuso V'Neskayer Hu Behem. A non-Jew has children. Let's assume he has a boy and a girl. Let's keep it simple. And then he and they convert. Kiye mitzvahs per verivya. Already yotze. That seems to be a psak. Afa gav de gersh neskayek katan an oladami. Even though we usually look at it as like halachic time starts, halachic time stops and halachic time starts. That they're almost, so to speak, brand new. We have amnesia. We don't know anything about the past. Nevertheless, says Minchas Chinuch, kaven de begyuso. Zara meyuchas acharav, kiyem.
He says, what must be the explanation? That we care about having a yichus. There has to be a yichus. As long as there's a relationship between the children and the father, even if it was in his non-Jewish state, now that that carries over to their Jewish state as gerim, they are fulfilling the mitzvah.
There's still a yichus today?
Yes, it seems like it, yeah. Yeah. And what is he bavarning? What he's bavarning, what he's coming to exclude, is if you have, which is something he had already spoken about, which is if you'll have a Jewish father produce a non-Jewish child. Right? Let's say the affair wasn't with a married Jewish woman. Ironically enough, it might, in a certain sense, might be better. It was with a non-Jewish woman. So that child's not Jewish. Said the Mincha Sinach explicitly, and the Rishonim said, of course you're not Yotzei anything with that. The child's not Jewish. So I... Avera here, Avera there, or non-Jew there, non-Jew here. Here we're talking about a ger, also not Jewish. What's the difference? Somewhat paradoxical, but it is what it is. There's a difference is yichus. A Jewish father has no yichus to his non-Jewish children.
And what if they're misguided?
That's what I'm saying, but a Jewish father...
Typically, I'm saying, so what if he had a goy?
I don't think so, because there was never any yichus. It's like nerve damage. So if you had a nerve, if you have a nerve, it could be regenerated. But if there was no nerve, so as opposed to if you have a non-Jew, a full-fledged non-Jew with his full-fledged non-Jewish children, Joe, Jane, and Jack, so they're all there. So there was yichus. If they had stayed, again, lemaisa, that's an important halacha, just for other things. By goyim, there's yichus through the father.
Even if the kid was not.
There is for certain halachas. That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying.
Like
this is one of them.
Both going, there's still a certain element of
evil. So everyone's a guy now. So now they convert.
The parents became Jewish and the kids stayed a guy.
I don't think so. No, then I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's a very interesting question. That's not what the Menachem is discussing. One second. Let me just think for 1 second. I think, if I'm not mistaken, since we're reviewing, we saw this a while, I stopped preemptively. He quotes, just we read it last time, I just forgot. He quotes it to Machlokas Rishonim, it appears. He said, does some Rishonim hold that this is even true if the children don't convert? I think, who did he quote that from? Let's just look. Well, we don't have to guess, we can look.
What's true?
It continues in the paragraph that there are Rishonim who hold, he quotes from the Beis Shmuel, there are some who hold that, but we thought that seems to be a little too much.
But the Rambam in the Tur,
now I'm just pointing out parenthetically, and it's ironic, but it's worth, we just have to put the pieces together, that ironically the non-Jew with his non-Jewish children is better off than a Jew who had non-Jewish children. So if they, because they have some goyish relationship, so when they convert, if we accept the Rambam and the Torah, which makes more sense, frankly, if they all convert, so then that yichus on some level seems to be preserved, and therefore he votes. That's what Rishonim say. That's what the Rishonim say.
Would you go so far to say if they convert after he dies?
No, for the simple reason that you can't fulfill mitzvah after you die.
Yeah, but the biological process was started.
But Echrami, so if they got it 1 minute before he died, that would be good.
But this is the only mitzvah that you could fulfill after you died.
How does
because
that?
if you had a boy and a girl, and one of them dies, and then you die, and then one of those
no.
had boy
no,
and
no,
died,
no, no, no.
Why?
Because you died.
Because dead people don't.
Yeah, it's not a melitza. It's a phrase in Chazal. Hameis chavshim in a mitzvah. There's no such thing as mitzvahs after death. There could be schar after death. That's like a Yisker speech, but that's not for now.
The time you die, you must have a boy and a girl.
Correct.
And you could lose it.
The chiddush was that if God forbid one of them died, we discussed that last time through the grandchildren. But not if you died.
But if
the clock stops when you die. In many, many ways. Including, unfortunately, this way. Including this way as well. So, Lamaisa, what's the point? The point is, this is hard enough of a chiddush, big enough of a chiddush. It makes no sense if you hold that the mitzvah is the Maisabiyah. Because the Maisabiyah happened 4 years ago when they were in Montana as non-Jews. Now they went from Montana to Muncie, with a Garris in between, in Michigan, and got my alliteration in. And so says the Menachem, we'll see, we're going to see, we're going to get to it, but you can already see where the Menachem Chinuch is going. He says, oh, this fits into my pattern. Because if you hold it, it's all the result. So now you have a Yiddish result. You have Jewish children that you have a Yichus to. He holds you have to have that Yichus. Oh, the Maisa Bia was when you were a guy, but who cares? That was only Hashem Mitzvah. Now he's got, I'm not going to put it on the board just yet, because he's going to get to it. Before he gets to it, let's just see a second thing, and that was Yudalad. Yudalad is the one we alluded to, which you guys just asked me about, Didi. And that is the question, God forbid, of death. Yudalad. Lafimai the Kaimalon Hoyulo Bonin the Mesu Lo Kiyama Mitzvah. Right? We have this very strange halacha. Really, it's one of the most unique halachos. As he says in the next sentence, Nirava Olul, the mitzvahzu Enu Kishar Mitzvah. Right? You know, this is the perfect example that we're dealing with a unique, I would say almost sui generis, completely unique mitzvah. You can have a mitzvah that I was Yotze, and then retroactively I'm not Yotze. It's a very bizarre kind of a thing. Nevertheless, it is what it is. That's the fact. That's the facts on the ground. That's a literal translation. It just, I mean, it's obvious. It's without a doubt. Overwhelmingly. Therefore, he says, as opposed to other mitzvahs, the Ein Lehem Meshech Zman, right? We don't have this open-ended period. Rather, rak, take if sh'asa ha-mitzvah yotzah. No, you eat the matzah, you shake the lulav, you're yotzah. Avon kad ein okein, ta'abiyah lo ha-vaguf ha-mitzvah. He makes the point explicitly again. Rak, hechsher mitzvah. The ikra mitzvah hi, leidas ha-bonim. And again, even here he has to add a wrinkle, because he could have said, okay, but I had the children 17 years ago. But he has to add the last line. This is an important point. U'b'chol rega, chalav achiyav. Again, it's an open-ended. The clock is always ticking. You know, ironically, the closer you get to your Me'ev Esrim, at the same time, in the opposite direction, the more definitive your fulfillment of the mitzvah becomes. Because if you, your Me'ev Esrim, die with the children, then we give you finally the full-fledged 100% shkayach. Until that happens, as long as you and the children are alive, you may be 99% likely to fulfill the mitzvah, but since, God forbid, tragedy could strike, so that would taka pull the rag out from under. So let's write up the three things now. So the second thing we saw that made his point stronger was the ger. How is it possible, says the Menachas Chinuch, to understand this halacha? To get the poskim in the Beis Shmuel, which are really difficult, but even according to the Rambam in the Tur, that you had children as a guy, then you and they convert, and you fulfill the mitzvah. You can't say that the mitzvah is the Maisa Bia. You weren't Jewish then. Elamai says it must be that the result of having children is the mitzvah. That's another proof to the Yisod, and that can happen when you convert. And number three is the tragic version of this, which is, God forbid, Mesu Bonim. The children die. The halacha is, retroactively, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. And again, it's a hard halacha to digest, not only emotionally, but even intellectually, no matter what. But says the Chassidic, it makes more sense based on my yisod. Because if you held it's the ma'isaviyah, so that's done. There's nothing else to talk about. That can't be undone. But if you hold it's the result, so even though it's still a chiddush, but at least the result, right, it's not binding until it's binding.
That the ma'isaviyah should be there.
That it should be the mitzvah? Because because for a moment, take it back from it. With all these riyas, at the end of the day, the Minchas Chinuch is a shverer thing. It has some aspects of it which are peculiar. And there is no Maisa Mitzvah. There is no Maisa Mitzvah from the Minchas Chinuch. He didn't even say that. You could have said that.
No,
it's like buying the lulav. It's like building the sukkah before Yontif. It's like grafting shining the shofar before Shana. That's a hechsher mitzvah. Plus, another weakness of the Menachas Chinuch, I'm not saying that's, again, there are strong points of the Menachas Chinuch that were obvious. The other weakness is that here you have a mitzvah, ironically enough, perhaps even the first mitzvah, that you have no control over. That's Madna.
That's something else.
That's a vulnerability of the Menachas Chinuch. That's what the Sif Pesach Frank doesn't like. Sif Pesach Frank says, if there's a mitzvah, I got to be in control. I got to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. That's not.
I mean,
no, but the point is, I'm not talking about whether a person actually did. The point is that in theory, says even in theory, according to the other approach, it's biyadi. If you define the mitzvah as, you know, we have be all you can be, so we have do all you can do. If you fulfill the mitzvah as you have to try to have children, i.e., the ma'aseh biyah, that's your effort, that's the concretization of your effort. So then, that's biyadi. I could do it or I could not do it. And the rest, so say, no, that's not
potash. Yeah, but then you end up with a mitzvah that you can be also be just trying to do it.
Right. And that's why the Mechasim didn't like it.
Yeah.
100%, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Each approach has its relative strengths and its relative weaknesses. So in the sum total, I'm also convinced a little bit that Mechasim has more pros. I'm just pointing out, it's not all or nothing. The other Achronim let us think a little bit too.
The Lashon of Asakta
with Pirei Beridia. That's right, that's right.
That is not mashma like the Mechasim of Asakta.
That's right. Asakta means that you try.
I mean, that's
a Gemara. Yeah. So again, it's not a halachic Gemara. Yeah, okay? So these are the three that we have so far. Good. So this is where we left off, I believe, last time. It was a few weeks. It's good we reviewed. This is the famous Chiddush, and these are basically the Gimel Regolim that his Chiddush is omed on. So now let's see what he does with that. Ubezem Yushav. So with these three rayas, with this Yisod, he says, I can now answer up, I can emphert a famous Kasha of the Turei Evin. Who was the Turei Evin? The Turei Evin was the Shagas Aryeh. You know, that's how we do it in Judaism, right? The Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishneh Berurah. Who needs to know biographical details? The book wrote the other book. Anyway, so I think it's Ar Rokeach was his last name. But he's the most famous for Shagas Aryeh, that's a Sefer of Tshuvas, and he also wrote the Turei Evin, a number of Masechtas in Shas as well. Very, very famous. It was the Rav of Metz, if I'm not mistaken. A famous German city. Ubezem Yushev al Anachon Mashahikshev, the Sefer Turei Evin, see, even the Minchas Chinuch does it, Lagon Shagas Aryeh. Right? Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Chesam et Aleph. What's the kasha there? The Gemara said as follows. Bahadim of Ursham, the Gemara there discusses Kafo v'achol matzah yotza. Says the Gemara a following chiddush. If somebody forces matzah down your throat, and it happens to be the 14th Leil Seder, 15th of Nisan, you had your kazayis, your yotzei the mitzvah. What's the chiddush of that? Before we get to see the next stage, the obvious chiddush. Yeah, no kavana. So the Gemara asks, what's the case? Kafu man. What type of, who forced what? Ilema kafu shade. So the Gemara refers to a shade like a demon. But here the Gemara, I don't know what the Gemara means, and other times it uses shade, literal, non-literal. One thing for sure is anyone who translates this as literally, that's just Amarasis. The Gemara does not mean literally a demon. What it means clearly in the Gemara is it means the person had temporary insanity. The person was Meshuga. He was out of his mind. Figuratively caused by the shade. So if you'll say Kafu, the Gemara didn't mean literally someone, you know, like a mob story. No, that's the phrase. Meaning, it's a way of saying he had no intent. It doesn't mean like the mob guy's holding open his mouth, forcing down the mob. So that's a posh shot. So no, the first sheet, the first possibility is no. Kafu shave means he couldn't have any concept of it. Happens to be P.S. The Gemara has a second lashon, which it really accepts, which is the mob case. No, couple parsim. No, sataka. Someone forced down the matzah down his throat. But in the first ukimta, the first suggestion is the Gemara. Maybe it means that he just went temporarily insane. But if that's the case, the Gemara asks the kasha. V'hotanya, and he paraphrases. I'll fill in the blanks in a second. Kishushota hariyu kishota l'chol devarav. The Gemara quotes a brisa that talks about somebody who has, I don't know what would be a modern day diagnosis for this, but basically someone who goes back and forth, who has moments of, we all have this in general terms, but in clinical terms, someone who has moments of sanity and moments of insanity. Itim chalim, itim shota. That's the Gemara term. There are times where he's fully within his sanity, there are times where he's completely off his rocker. So the Gemara says, what do you do? But how do you define such a person? Is he a chayv in mitzvahs or not?
Who's the shayv? The guy that.
No.
There's another guy.
The gobble. The guy waited. In this version of the Gemara, there's only one guy. No one stuffed anything. It means that he did it without knowing what he was doing. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe that's what we're talking about. And the Gemara says, you're Yotzei the Mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, that can't be. Because we have a general, forget matzah, we have a general principle. Let's say you have a guy like this, who Nebuch. Right? We know people like this, unfortunately, in some general sense. There are times where they're lucid, and other times, they're mamish, they're not holding. Right? Nowadays, especially, it could be the case. You have people who are on their meds, are fine. If they walk their meds, and it could very well be. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, what's the status of such a person? Is he a Shotech who's potter for mitzvahs, or is he considered Bikech and Chayv in mitzvahs? And the Gemara gives a very kind of commonsensical go with the flow answer. It depends. We don't have to make one rule. It depends. When he's with his mind, then he's Chayv. And when he's out of his mind, then he's potter. Pashut, we're not so, you know, we roll with the flow. But in light of that, says the Gemara, so if that's our general rule, how could you say that there's a case of kafu shade, meaning that he's at that point out of his mind, and he ate the matzah and he's yotzei? What do you mean he's yotzei? Meaning then an hour later it's still yet not yet chatzos, and now he's back in his mind and he realizes, oh, I didn't eat matzah yet. So the other relatives say, no, it's okay, it's okay. Taka, you ate matzah. Is that taka? So someone asks a shayla. We have to go ask the rabbi. You know, I haven't had a seder in years. Where at least at some point someone to knock on the door. There's always shaylas during the seder. So this one I didn't get it. Someone knock on the door. No, crazy Uncle Jack. Taka, he was crazy tonight. But now he's better. But he ate the matzah while he was crazy. What's the halacha? Does he have to eat it again or not? In such a case, so on the one hand, based on the general rule that we have of itim cholim, itim shota, what would the psak be? You have to eat it, because when he was shota, he wasn't chayiv. Okay, he ate it. Okay, that's just nutritional. Whatever nutritional value there is to matzah. But it's not halachic. It's not religious. Now he's cholim. Now he's back to being healthy. Let's capture the moment. Carpe diem. Let's seize the moment and let's give him matzah. He'll fulfill him with a raisa. What is the chus? And yet, our Gemara, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, seem to say no. Kafu shade, meaning bizman, that he is unfortunately out of his mind, if he ate the matzah, yotza. So that's why, so the Maisa, based on this question, I'm just giving you, for the next time you see the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it'll be familiar with you, that's why the Gemara Taka rejects that this can't be the Yukimta, and that's when the Gemara says, no, the halacha is, we're actually talking about kafu parsiyim. Some bandits came, and they forced him to eat the matzah. You'll ask me why? I don't know. I guess the RICO statutes got so strict, they got out of the trash hauling business, and they got into forcibly the matzah business. Whatever. I don't know why they did it. What's the difference? And the chiddush of the Gemara is that even though the guy obviously didn't have kavana, he's still yotzei. And that's, at that point, is no longer our topic. Right? That's interesting if you're learning in Hichos Matzah or Hichos Kavana. That's not our topic. How does this all relate to us? So let's see the Minchas Chinuch. Mavur Sham. The Alkain, what came out of that Gemara? The Alkain lo yotzi dechova bechilas matzah kshushota. Right? What clearly emerges from that Gemara is lu yitzuyu, you ate the matzah when you're a shota. If you're always a shota, you're just potter. You're a shota, potter min mitzvahs. But if you come back to your sanity, you obviously were yotza. Kaven to us potter min mitzvahs. Ain't an ifter bizman achiv b'mash asa bizman aptur. The fact that you ate it when you're potter will not help you when you're chayiv. Right? That's the yisod. This is the point. We don't lose the sight of the forest for the trees. Why are we taking this detour into Maseches Rosh Hashanah to extract that one salient point? That you see from this Gemara yisod that if you do a mitzvah bizman p'tur, even if a minute later it switches into the zman chiyuv or you become chayiv in it, I just did it a minute ago. You see, from this Gemara doesn't count. It only counts if you fulfill the mitzvah when you're chayiv to do the mitzvah, not when you're potter. That's good. Fine. What comes along the Turei Evan? The Hichal Zed, the Turei Evan, going over to Amud Gimel here in my Sefer. Hey, mevuer kan hayulo banim big Yusuf in iskayer kima mitzvah. How big Yusuf potter me piriv rivya to bnei noach ena mitzuvim. The heich nifter ata b'zman achiyav la'achashin is gayer. Yuyin sham shehirich b'zad. The Turi Evan is it's a broken with this. He's very bothered by this. What's the question? What's the tushtub between the two gazes?
They were both potter.
Exactly. We just got through saying that if you eat matzah when you're potter, that doesn't help you when you're chayiv. So says the Turi Evan, you just lavish. If you lay one on top of the other, it's a perfect fit. That's exactly analogous to our case where he was potter as a non-Jew, had children, quote, fulfilled the mitzvah, now he converts. So we're saying in the whole Gemara, in the Mishnah, that you're Yotzei the mitzvah.
Maybe you don't need kafana. Five children,
even if you're going to say it's through the mice of Bia, even if there's no kavana.
Didi, I'm so impressed with you. You know why? Because you're actually giving a teretz for Rav Pesach Frank and others. But I'll let you be selfish, Didi. Just give an answer, l'shitascha, which is you are for these purposes. You are the Minchas Chinuch. What does the Minchas Chinuch want to do with this?
Because he's more than the end result.
Yeah.
He learned that it's the end result. So the end result was there.
No. So what's
the? It's raya that's good because
he says he said. We'll say it. Let's say it outside. Then we'll see what the Minchas Chinuch says inside.
Okay. Who wants? That's the end result. That's a raya. And
I. What about the Gemara Rosh Hashanah? Where we seem to say you are Yotze. Even about what you did in the Mishagasari and the material doesn't understand. If that case says you're not Yotze, by the Itim Shota, you're not Yotze, how come we're saying by the Ger? So what's the Minchas Chinuch going to tell us? That there's a fundamental difference between the different mitzvos. In other words, we mentioned, for example, over here, that the Minchas Chinuch wasn't just making an assumption about Puruvu. He also has to make an assumption about Mitzvah Bavera. So here also, there's two assumptions being made. One is about the concept in general. If you just look at the Gavra, Nebuch, you have a tragic case. I mean, I'm being somewhat lighthearted, but as someone who has mental illness at various levels of my family, it's very serious when it's real. It's tragic. If you have somebody, Nebuch, who is in one of these tragic situations, on the meds, off the meds, sometimes he's a shota, sometimes not a shota. So one shaila is in general, halachically, how do we view this Gavra? That's a halachic shaila, which could cross 100 mitzvos, 613 mitzvos, to be more precise. How do you view this Gavra vis-a-vis all mitzvos? But there's a whole separate question, in fact, theoretically, 613 separate questions. How do, in light of the definition of this Gavra, how do we define the requirements of a particular mitzvah? So in this particular case, let me just draw this box here. We have, even though it's not identical, one's a ger versus one's a shota, but in theory we have an analogous situation of somebody who is, at some point, there's like a red line, the Rubicon, and on one side he's a putter, either because he's a shota or lahavdil because he's not Jewish. On the other side, he's a chiyuv because he became Jewish or became healthy again. So the shaila is, if he did something on one side of the river, when he gets to the other side, does it count or not? So if you take a look at the evidence, the Torah Evan goes crazy. He says we have a contradiction. Because when it came to the matzah, it sounded like, what? If you did it when you were Bezman Ptur, you're not fulfilled the mitzvah when you crossed over the river to the other side, Bezman Chiyuv. You have to eat again. And yet, when it came to Puruvu, we're assuming that you are Yotze based on what you did Bezman Ptur, if you convert and come over the other side of the river, and you're Jewish. So the Shagas Ayah said, what's going on here? How could one... So says the Minchas Chinuch, the Shagas Aryeh is bothered because he's working with a mistaken assumption. With the whole Shailen, why the Shagas Aryeh is ripping his hair out, is because he's equating these two mitzvos. Oh, they both have to do with the Maisa. Oh, so the Maisa of eating matzah when I'm Patur. So this is the Maisa of having children when I'm Patur. So, oh, how could there be a contradiction in Psak? But says the Minchas Chinuch, no, it's beautiful. If the focus of the mitzvah is the maisa, which he says clearly is matzah, the maisa is achilas matzah, chop, 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 that's the mitzvah. So then, that is the mitzvah. So we have only one question. Was that mitzvah done bizman pitur or zman chiyuv? Itim cholam, itim shota, if he ate it when he was nebuch, when he was off his meds.
Same thing as the lulav hakozel that he was talking about.
Exactly. So in that case, says the Minchas Chinuch, I have no problem with that. I got no beef with that Gemara. That works perfectly. That's got nothing to do with us. Because our chiddush is that Puruvu is completely different. Puruvu is not about the Maisa. Puruvu is about the result. So there is a magic moment, a cha-ching moment with every mitzvah. Says the Minchas Chinuch, there is a yesod which is absolutely universally true. Your cha-ching moment has to happen bizman chiyuv. So what's the cha-ching moment of matzah? Ching, 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 when you're chewing. The cha-ching moment of Puruvu is 9 months later, when you have the child. So says the, or for that matter, well, let's put, that's generally true. That's generally true. Because then you get into the whole shaila, is this kavan or not?
But that's what it really boiled down to.
No, I don't think so.
So how does he translate this to Puruvu? So he says, if the whole issue was the Maisa Bia, so that obviously took place when he was a Ptur, so of course you wouldn't say he's Yotzei. But now that we say that no, the Chiddush of Puruvu is the result of having children, and what did he say at the end of the previous paragraph, which was so important? The idea that what? Kol rega chala v'chiv. That's why it's so important. The mace case, Nebuchadnezzar, tragic as it is, it's the key. Because if you only had the first two riyas, it sounds good, but you would be stuck for this. The mace case teaches us a final nuance, a final stitch in this chiddush, which is that even after you have the child, there's this, you know, like hourglass that's constantly, again, until the end of your life, a man of Esrim, you're still, you're 95%, 99%, eventually, 99%, but as long as you're alive, there's a chance, chalila, that your child predeceases you, and that you weren't retroactively not fulfill the mitzvah. Which shows that the cha-ching moment by Puruvu is extended. It doesn't end until the big cha-ching in the sky takes place. But until then, it's still an open book. Oh, if it's an open book, if we're still cha-chinging, so I'm cha-chinging when I became a ger. So the cha-ching moment happened. Bezman chiyuv. And I'm Yotzei. Let's see it inside now. Let's see it inside.
Everyone eats matzah by the Seder, but they don't do any Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Are they Yotzei the Chiyuv of matzah? Is matzah, is eating matzah in itself a mitzvah, or is it in conjunction with Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim?
You're asking a very good question. Offhand, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is part of a very important machlokas rishonim. When we say that who is it in the Rambam says kololo omer shlosha dvarim lo yotzei chavasa. So the shas lo yotzei de chavasa. Right? Every year we all say this in the Seder.
Yeah.
Which chov are you yotzei? Which? So that's a machlokas.
It's about saying, it's not about eating matzah.
That's a machlokas. Some hold that it's about Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is, I would say, the Pasha Pshat. Those elements have to be incorporated in Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, perhaps. I don't know, I take that back. I'm not venturing, I have no horse in this race. I don't know if it's Pasha Pshat or not. That's one approach. And others say no. Others say that what it means is that each of those mitzvos, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, are not just eating mitzvos, but they have to be accompanied by an explanation, by the Kriyas HaParsha. And therefore, if you didn't say that parsha, you didn't mabarach on what is Pesach, what is Matzah, what is Maror, even though you ate it, you didn't 100% fulfill the mitzvah, those mitzvahs b'shleimus, but it's got nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So offhand, again, I'm not oriented now in the Hilchos Seder now, but I think offhand that relates to your question. Right? Depending on that machlokas. So according to some Rishonim, the answer is Enechanami. That if you didn't do Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, then you did not fulfill at least b'shleimus, the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Tie out
Achilles
Matzah with
Puruvu
in terms of that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
If he's not doing one, not the other, then it's not.
I hear. The push-up shot, again, this is, I'll go back to them, maybe that. I have to revisit that, even though I'm telling you off the top of my head. I really haven't thought about it until you asked me. The push-up shot, though, is that whatever additional kiyum there is by the Sipur, that paragraph or the general Sipur. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Al-Hilas Matzah comes after the conclusion of Maggid.
That's also true. Okay, let's see the Minchas Chinuch flourish inside. In the fancy version, it's four lines from the top. Well, if you match the Kasad Nulo Kashamida, but according to my Chinuch, there's no problem. The Bishlam Matzah Volulov, the Yatsah Matzah Kshachal Matzah Natalulov, but the Chiching moment is instantaneous. Akein Shapiri Natalo Ochal Beishai Ptur, Eno Potro Lizmanachiv. So then, the fact that you fulfilled, quote unquote, the action of the mitzvah when you're potter is not going to help you for when you become chayiv. Aval hacha, you know, here's the highlighted underlying part by the chiddush of Puruvu, the mitzvah he b'chol rega. The cha-ching moment never ends. From the moment you have that child, right, just like, as they say, emotionally and otherwise, your love and achrayis for the child never ends. So the mitzvah never ends. It's a constant, ongoing cha-ching. If that's the case, v'charega v'rega, ha-mitzvah sh'ayil abanim, because the mitzvah is having those children. Im kein b'geiruso, b'eishachal avchiv. So then when this taka, this person converts, Makai Mrs. Peruvivia, Dhar Yesh Labanim. So his cha-ching moment is still occurring when he's now crossed over into this manchiv.
Not really. Cha-ching moment occurs when his children cross.
Okay, well, according to those Rishonim, fine. Okay, but the bottom line is, it's still, he's chayiv, and the cha-ching happened. He's chayiv, and the cha-ching happened. And
their point is, before they come over, after he's a geyer, he has a separate chiyuv now, doesn't he?
You're saying if there was some delay. This is a good kasha. Let's say a good kasha. There's a delay. He came over from Europe for a year.
Right.
He converted, and he's going to bring the children over.
Yeah.
So, even though he says, but I'm working on the visa, Rabbi. But who knows what could happen? Maybe the visa will fall through. Maybe the children will never come over. They'll never convert. And Echanami, yes. At that point, you would say, yes, you're chayiv. Yes, you're right. You're right.
But what if he was a ger that didn't have children?
The difference with adoption is biological. I mentioned that one of the first times. The Chasam Sofer, it's not explicit. It's a very good question. But Halacha L'maisa, we assume that the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva. He proves it from a Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. I think even in a Dharam. I don't remember if I haven't seen that tshuva in a while. But it's a Chasam Sofer quoted, I think, from Rashi, that you see that it's clear that with all of the fancy Torah, but the foundation is biological. Exactly, it's biological. And even though we have a famous Gemara, which deserves a lot of attention, and Lamaisa, we should even try to do it whenever we have the capability of being a foster parent or an adoptive parent. Kal Magal Yosum, you know, Kilu Yolado, if you bring up a child, it says Chatzlof over the Gemara's Menduyuk, it's Kilu. It's a big mitzvah, but it ain't mamish. You'll tell me with all the emotion, but this guy did one thing, and I spent 20 years raising them? You have to trust that Baruch Shalom knows that too. You'll get your reward in a different way. But if you ask me the very specific, narrow, halachic question, who fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, the answer is even the abandoned father. More. Let me just finish the paragraph scene. I promise I won't start the next paragraph until I call on you. T.O. Okay? So, he says, in that case, this makes sense with our sheet. Let's just finish the point. And again, he proves it by going back to the ultimate proof, number three, the Nebuch, the tragic case of the children. That proves that it's this result-oriented. This is really, again, it's a two-part point, which he's put together. It's having the children, and the connections, the relationship, again, because that's the reason why, for example, if someone had produced a child from a non-Jewish woman, even if that child converts, I don't believe that he fulfilled the mitzvah. Or, for that matter, we would reject the Beis Shmuel and say, if you convert without your children, no mitzvah, because then you've not had yichus. There needs to be a halachic relationship between the father and the child. And in this case, the ger case, harihu makayim ha'keis, now he's fulfilling that mitzvah. For a hechsher mitzvah, only that original pre-hechsher status, that stage, raka hechsher mitzvah, nasa piptur, tahayin ha be'ila. Again, the maisa bi is only a hechsher. V'zu eina ha-mitzvah ha-ikarius, rak havios habanim. Having the children is the mitzvah, not the maisa bi'a. Okay? Yes. Now, we're all ready for you, Simon.
Right? Who's
the he?
The
guy. The ger?
With
his children.
With the children. I mean, you make the whole... I mean, it sounds foolish, really. Just because something... Would you do something like that?
What do you mean? Would you wish him a mazel tov in the bulletin?
Yeah,
no, but it's a nafka mila lamaisa for the shomrei office.
Kiddush is a kiddush.
Are you sponsoring kiddush?
I'm not looking at
the abstract. Well, in the abstract, I don't have to answer questions. The abstract.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Seymour, in all seriousness, whether a given community would acknowledge it in the same way that they would acknowledge mamash, a newborn baby. I don't think that's relevant. Maybe, seriously, that's not relevant. Maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe we should. But, yeah.
Same thing.
Listen, so far as I know, we haven't had a situation like that, at least not since I came to shul. But when we do, Mir Tashem, you'll remind me. We'll do it. If the family's comfortable. Okay? And I'll hold you to sponsor
it. What do I have to
do with it? I got a lot of witnesses that said, Seymour, I think we all heard that you're sponsoring, right? We all heard that, Seymour.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Seymour wants to move on.
Next paragraph. Interesting side note, but it's an interesting one. But al pi anal, again, based on all of this, I have a kasha on Tosfos. Eino mevin divrei Tosfos and Baba Basra and Chagiga. Shehikshu the lacy I say the puravu lidchas alase lo ye kadesh. What's this? So I'll save you the time. I look up the Gemara from the Minhag Sunach. You don't know what he's talking about. So this is the famous case of the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Right? You have a guy who, right, two guys, you know, the neighbor down the block with all the gelt, he has an Eved. So the two guys in shul are all jealous. They say, you know what? It's nice. Reuben's got the Eved. We'd also want an Eved. So they said, you know what? We can't afford it on our own, but let's go into it together. He'll work at your house Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and he'll work at my house Tuesday, Thursday, Shabbos. Sean, wonderful. Well, every other Sunday we'll be at each other's house. Then for whatever reason, after who knows what amount of time, one of the owners frees him. So now he's a chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin. So the Gemara says in a very famous comment that we force the other one to free him. Why? Because this guy is in its halachic twilight zone. The tzad of him that's a Jew that's free is a full-fledged Jew. And he's chayv and mitzvah. So tefillah and other things, okay, he could do. But puruvu he can't do. Why can't he do puruvu, says the Gemara? Because he can't marry a Jewish woman to fulfill puruvu. Because the tzad, the half of him that's an eved, is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. So he's in a halachically impossible situation. So we make...
And he can't marry a shivcha because of the tzad.
Exactly.
He cannot marry an eved.
He can't marry anybody. He's in halachic twilight zone. So Tosus asked the Kasha. That's the Gemara. That's the well-known Gemara. So Tosus Akasha. Why not? Let him marry. Let him marry the non-Jewish woman. And let's say, Asei Docha Lo Sasei. Asei of Puravu will be Docha, the illicit marriage between his half-Eved and the Jewish woman. That Tosus is Kasha. Who likes that question? He already tipped his hand.
You can see Puravu.
Like,
is he not being
the kind
one at the same time
as the other? But less of... Right, he gives two answers, the Tosus, but Michal doesn't like either of them. Right? But everyone hear the question. Let's just first deal with Tosus' question.
According to that, if
you're getting too fast. You have to stop. Tosus asks Akasha, why do we make that other owner free him?
Let this hybrid guy...
Let him marry a Jewish woman. There's an Isser to marry her.
What's her Isser?
Oh, so that's the second. That's his second answer. Is that plays that game, him versus her?
That's
so the kasha that Tosas asks. I'm saying this is what Tosas asks. Why don't we say let him marry her? His asay of puravu should be docha her and half of his iser to get married.
Why can't you do that?
No, because there's another way. You can do it another way. First of all, it doesn't work. And second of all, there's other ways.
Why can't we look at that as Mitzvah Bavavir?
Maybe you would, but that's what this is.
So what's so special? It's Mitzvah Bavavir.
You know, why wouldn't he hold Mitzvah Bavavir?
Yeah.
Because maybe he holds. Well, we're going to see he doesn't hold that in the answer. But right now, I would say, because Mitzvah Bavavir doesn't apply to Bia.
But why should you come to a say no Pelosi say if you could just force him to give him up? I mean.
Because it's not Pasha, because there's an Avera in freeing him. Olam Behem Tavodu. Right? That's right. Gittin. That's right. These are Gittins, I guess. So that's part A. Part B. So what is Tosa's answer to the Kasha? Tosa's answer is V'tirtu lohavi be'idna talo tasei hi b'shas ha'ara v'asei hi b'gmara b'ya. Right? At the beginning of the B'ya process, ha'ara, so that's already an Aveira. But the mitzvah only happens at Gemara B'ya, and since it's not simultaneous, we don't say asei docha lo sasei. So says the Michal Sirach, I don't understand what you're talking about. Lofi Anal, based on what everything we're saying, even the Gemara B'ya is nothing. Gam ke lo ki ma'asei. Ha Gemara B'ya ain't a hechsher mitzvah. Even the Gemara B'ya is only a hechsher mitzvah. The hechsher l'holi below that. Enech nami, you need to have a Gemara B'ya to have a baby. Ach lefi zehu, ave ha'ara gam ke hechsher mitzvah. They're no better than the other. They're all hechsher mitzvah. And therefore, the Michal Sirach doesn't like that answer at all. Well, if he likes the question, that's a different question. But he certainly doesn't like the answer. This makes no sense. Because once you're saying, again, we're not focusing on this is not our topic. But what the Minchas Sinach is asking on is how could Tosfos, this is an explicit Tosfos, which Lachor is against the holy side of the Minchas Sinach. Now, the Minchas Sinach is a great plate, so he doesn't mind. He's against Tosfos. He's not backing down.
You don't have to make your
Exactly. I alluded to that before. I said it's implicit in Rishonim.
Yeah.
Huh?
Tosfos is answering.
the concept is the same.
That's the Mechaser's point.
Yeah, but in other words, the concept is the same, but they're not at the same time. You didn't need the Torah.
Correct, which is why the Mechaser's Chinuch might be happy with it. He does not bother by the whole thing. But Lamaisa, he's nitpicking. It's not the concept, it's the lotion of Tosus he doesn't like. Why does why does Tosus refer to Gemara Bia as the mitzvah?
Not that Tosus is referring to any point after or
correct.
Have to make this fine line between Gemara and
that's what the Menachas doesn't like. Exactly. That's exactly what the Menachas doesn't like. And he doesn't come back. He doesn't resolve it. He just says, I don't like it. It's not good.
Why can't you say that it's worried that he's doing an Aver as a Shem that he's going to be over, that he's going to be
Which is why I think, as I alluded to, and Yosef picked up before, it's clear that Tosfos doesn't hold of it. Now, how can he not hold of it? Isn't it by definition a suffix when she'll conceive? And Chanami, because I think he holds, I should say, more precise, Tosfos is a they, is a plural, by the way. And most people go through all of Yeshiva not realizing that, but Tosfos is a they. And you see the Michal Sinach got it right, it said Tirtzu, in plural. Tosfos holds that. You see that it's the Maisabiyah. The Maisabiyah is a definite. Either you did or you didn't.
Right.
So if he, and that's clearly part of his whole assumption.
He says Beferish that the Gemara Bia is the mitzvah.
So that's a definite.
Yeah.
The Menachas Sinach, as I said, the Menachas Sinach has eight other ways to answer this question in terms of his own Yesod. The only thing we're extracting from this is, again, is that the Menachas Sinach doesn't like the fact that Tosfos referred to Gemara Bia as the mitzvah. Clearly that's against him. So again, if you want to be very technical and, you know, my daddy's bigger than your daddy, well, Tosfos is Tosfos, but the Menachas Sinach is a big Gantz big daddy too. He's not backing down. But it's worth noting, you know, from our perspective of where could us be keeping score, I alluded to this before and I agree with you. I think it's to me pretty mavur that Tzvi Pesach Frank has a pretty good trophy to hang on the wall. He's got Tosfos on his side. Let's just see a little bit more. We have a little more time. Let's just see the one more paragraph. The beginning of Tesvav. We have five more minutes. Let's see this last paragraph. Once we're on the topic, let's see a little bit more. As I'm saying, this is a little bit of a stream of consciousness, Minchas Chinuch, this part. Ubiyosi bezeh, once we're on the topic. Re'isi b'mashe tirtzu atosus b'babasra hanal b'tirtzu beis. So the first answer Tosus gave, which Minchas Chinuch did like, was, well, maybe they're not at the same time. The second answer Tosus gives is, de'ein asei dochalos asei, de'bidido leka asei, de'heich tidchehi halotase de'bidido Leka Asei. Very interesting. One of you, I can't remember, Yosef, somebody alluded to this or chapped this a few minutes ago. Namely, who's chayiv and which mitzvah? We know, we've alluded to it before from the Sefer HaChinuch. We'll get back to it, I think, maybe next week, Mr. Shem, from the Minchas Chinuch. Women are pturos from Peruvu. So this woman, this fine Beis Yaakov girl, who we're going to set up with the great Shidduch of Chatzi Bechorin, but he's the top guy in Lakewood, but Mr. Chatzi Chatzi Bechorin, he can snag a Shidduch. So we're going to say, what was Tosfos Kasha? That her, this Avera, which is equally on her, she's not allowed to marry an Eved. Can you get a girl? Oh boy. The Shidduch crisis has hit new proportions. When that happens, Sarkis can offer $4,000. Anyway.
I see Eved means he would have to work half time.
Okay. Let's get back on the topic. It's my fault. I got us off the topic, so I'll take the prerogative of getting us back on. Okay, focus for the last few minutes. So says Tosfos that Kasha was knew it's an Avera. So what? Say his mitzvah of Puravu should be Docha, his, but also her Avera of marriage. Tosfos' answer is it's on his back is one thing, but on her back? Why is she, his Asay can't be Docha, her Los Asay. That's the second answer of Tosfos. So it says the Minchas Chinuch, Uke'ein svar zum of vur betosus in ksubis. There's another sugi in ksubis. Daf mem gabi anusa, a woman who was raped. Dim ein a ruya lava b'kohol, lo yisa'ena. What's that case? I have to give you a background. We know, again, this is not the time to get into the details, because and it's what to get into, and it's a very, very difficult concept to swallow for modern ears. Lamaisa, the Torah tells us the favorites of Dinda Raisa, that if a man rapes a woman, aside from his three financial penalties, he has a fourth penalty, that he has to marry her. I say it's completely foreign to any modern conception of gender relations or rape. But that's for another topic for another time. Bottom line is that's the halacha. This is quoted from a Chumash. It's quoted in a Mishnah. So the Mishnah says it's not absolute that he has to marry her. One of the exceptions is, again, ironic considering that he just raped her, but assuming that he wouldn't have been a chaya, behema, and he didn't rape her, would this have been a pas shidduch? Were they right for each other in strictly halachic sense? If they weren't allowed to marry, for example, who did he decide to rape? A mamzer, a mamzeres. So since they're anyway not allowed to marry, this fourth prat of what you do for an anusa, we don't make him marry a woman, even though it's supposed to be part of his kapara for being an aneser. But if outside of the context of onus, he wouldn't have been allowed to marry her, then we don't do it. So the question there, they asked the kasha there is, oh, also, why don't we say asay tocha los asay? It's true that he's not ordinarily allowed to marry a mamzer, but he has a chiv. It's a beset of pasuk and chumash. The Mishnah learns that he has to marry his victim. So there, mefarish. So let's say the in a real vovo call. I said outside a little more than we saw inside. So let's go back to say it inside. So Tosva says, Gabi Anusa, im ein ruya lovo lokal, if she was a mamzeres, therefore she's not ready to be married to a regular Jew, lo yisena, then that final point, he still has to pay her the penalty, but he doesn't have, that punishment he does have, but to marry her he doesn't have to. Frek the Gemara, parachashas, tesi asay, devlo tia leisha, which is the quote unquote, that's the asay that he has to marry her, vetitcha halos asay, of lo yavo lokal of a mamzeres. That's a kasha in the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, it's an enigmatic line in the Gemara. The Gemara answers, from Mataritz, E Amra lo be'ene lesalasei klah. The Gemara says, you know what, we're going to use a legal loophole. We'll think clever. We'll tell the girl, say you don't want to marry him. In general, and this is the one accommodation to modern sentiments that Chazal already anticipated, when we say that the rapist marries his victim, she has the right of first refusal. If she says, I don't want to be anywhere near this guy, she has the right to do that. It's a right that she has. Again, the thinking being that she'll be, quote-unquote, besmirched. Who would ever want to marry her knowing that she was raped? Nebuchadnezzar, not only did you rape her, but you're going to consign her to being a spinster her whole life. Kamash Malam, the Torah says, no, you have to marry her. You want to makalkal her? You're going to have to take care of her the rest of her life. But let's say she's self-confident. I'll be okay. I don't want to be anywhere near you. She has that right. She has that right. That's in general, that's true. So says the Gemara, we'll have a clever solution. How do we get out of this problem of she's a mamzer? On the one hand, he has an asay to marry her. On the other hand, he has an elos asay, he can't marry a mamzer. So we'll give us a little, we'll have an easy way out. Just tell her, say I don't want to marry you. By her saying I don't want to marry you, then Mamela slides away, he's mitzvah to marry her. And then you don't have a conflict of asay and elos asay, because there's no Mamela, there's no more asay. That's the Gemara. It's a kind of a shticky Gemara. But that's it's not the only one we have where we come up with this legal shtick, a legal loophole to get out of the problem. The Gemara itself suggests that. So that's the Gemara's line. What is that? Why? So here's the Shaila in Lumbus, and this is our last point. We'll finish with this right now. What does that change? I telegraphed it. The truth is, in theory, there's two ways to look at it. When the Gemara says this line, she says, I don't want to marry him. How does that solve the problem? How does that solve the problem?
You only do asay do palos asay when you're forced in that situation, but when you have a way out, I don't think the Gemara likes to use it.
So that's possible. That's possible. What other ways might the Gemara be understood? Which is the kind of the way I understood it. When the Gemara's line is, so everything I told you before was just straight Gemara. When the Gemara says we have a problem, asay do palos asay, what do we do? And the Gemara says, oh, just tell her to say I don't want to marry him. How does that help the problem? So one possibility, which I alluded to before, was that what I said and what Yosef just said again, which is by her saying it, Mamela there's no more asay, Mamela there's no more problem. That's not how Tosfos understands it. Tosfos says, this is really off our topic, but since the Minchas Chinuch mentioned it, it's just interesting to see. So the Minchas Chinuch mafarish haTosfos, the kevin de bidido leka asay, heich titche, halo sasei. The Minchas Chinuch looks at it not the way we just said, but he looks at it in a, I don't know if I'll call it more technical or more formalistic sense. What he meant is, she can be mochel on her asei. But if there's no asei for her, even if there's still an asei for him, it sounds like he holds there's still an asei for the man. But if there's no more, it's a way of saying, the Minchas Chinuch, the Tosfos understand. It's a way of saying, the Gemara didn't really mean it as it sounded, it was a way of saying that the mitzvah's asay is on him, but the los asay, she's a mamzer, she's not allowed to marry him, he's not allowed to marry her, but she's also not, a mamzer is higher than mitzvah's too, and one of her mitzvahs is you can't marry a non-mamzer. So she, it would be a los asay for her to marry him. So because he has an asay to marry me, I should be over my los asay to marry him. Now that's not, I wouldn't call that punishment in the Lashon of the Gemara.
question of the Gemara, the way I explained it, the way Yosef said it. But Minchas Chinuch and pointing out, it doesn't matter what you and I think, the way Tosfos understood the Gemara, which was not so Pashup Shat in my opinion, but that's the way Tosfos understood that Gemara, was that no, it's not about is there a mitzvah to be in conflict with the Asay Los Asay, but we don't make one guy's Asay be on the back of another person's Yenim's Los Asay. Why is that interesting to us? What's this got to do with our topic? Only one thing, that in light of that understanding, that's Tosfos L'shitasam. Because that's what Tosfos is saying back above in the case of the Chatzayav and Chatzayav ben Chorin in answer number two, when Tosfos has said that we're only going to say Asay Dochalos Asay if they're both for the same person. But we're not going to say the Asay of the Chatzayav and Chatzayav ben Chorin is going to be on the back of the Los Asay of a typical Jewish Beis Yaakov girl. So Tosfos mentions this Me'inyan L'inyan as you, I mean, I'm sorry, excuse me, Menachas Chinuch mentions this as Me'inyan L'inyan, even though it's got nothing to do with Inyan of Puravu, so he mentions this as Me'inyan L'inyan, and it's just an interesting idea for us to have, about Chlole Asei Dechalos Asei. Namely, that you see at least twice now in Shas, and at least the second time, even the Menachas Chinuch doesn't think it's controversial, he's just quoting it, that the Tosfos has a Yisod, that we never say Asei Dechalos Asei, unless it's all happening by one person. Even though there's two people involved in the Parsha, if only one person is the Asei and the other person is the Los Asei, even if everything else is equal, we don't let his Asei be Dochas Sam Yenim's Los Asei. Okay, we'll pick up with more Puravu actual stuff.